Well, groups and organisations and politicians who are desperate to indoctrinate your children with radical sexuality and gender fluidity through the RSE program, they're concerned about the agreement between National and New Zealand First, and they realise that the age inappropriate program is on the way out. So they're doing everything they can to try and stop the review. And the latest attempt comes from the Mental Health Foundation. Who should know better? Let's check it out. So you'll remember that in the coalition agreement between National and New Zealand First, it said this: refocus the curriculum on academic achievement and not ideology, including the removal and replacement of the gender, sexuality and relationship-based education guidelines. But that has all the media and the academics and the teacher unions in a panic. Fancy expecting schools to focus on reading, writing and arithmetic and not be allowed to indoctrinate our kids with the ideology that they have 112 genders to choose from and 200 plus sexualities. And the latest attempt to try and keep the radical RSE curriculum in schools came last week. And according to One News, and you just need to have a look at the feature image there and the love heart with the LGBT colours to see actually what this is all about. It says an open letter is calling on the government to keep the current relationship and sexuality education guidelines in schools in Kura, despite coalition promises to do otherwise. 26 mental health and rainbow organisations have written an open letter to the government this week asking it to retain the current RSE guidelines. The letter said the guidelines were beneficial for schools and students. Well, who are the organisations? Well, let's have a look. I've circled all the ones that are LGBT, so the ones with a vested interest, and showing what the real focus is. Arika Aotearoa, the Burnett Foundation, which is the AIDS Foundation, Every Gender, Gender Minorities, Aotearoa, Indian Origin Pride, Inside Out, of course, Intersex Aotearoa New Zealand, PATHA, Professional Association for Transgender Health Aotearoa, they're doing well, Q Youth, Qtopia, Rainbow Hub Waikato, Rainbow Path, and Te Whanawhana. But here's a really funny one, and I've circled it in yellow, New Zealand Drug Foundation. Yes, the group that want to legalise and normalise drug use, they're also concerned about gender identity and sexuality. They are so versatile. So let's watch the interview where the News Hub AM show markets this open letter. And we know it's a marketing strategy because it's not a debate about, you know, where they invite us to explain why parents are concerned. No, it's a one-sided sales pitch with the Mental Health Foundation. They can't handle debates or a counterview, but let's fact check it anyway. And as I said, it's an interview with the head of the Mental Health Foundation, Sean Robinson, who used to be the head of the AIDS Foundation, and before that with Presbyterian Support, president of the New Zealand Council of Christian Social Services. Although in an interview, he said that he is appalled at the position of the Presbyterian Church on sexuality. Quote, not one that I support or that Presbyterian Support supported. End quote. Well, that explains the mission drift. And he's appalled at the bigotry and the homophobia of Christianity. He's not a fan of organised religion. And he also says that Mental Health Foundation are a kind of sister organisation to the AIDS Foundation. Okay, good to know. Remember that when you hear about the Mental Health Foundation. So let's have a watch of the interview.
Why are you saying that the guidelines must stay in schools?
Well, look, giving young people support in navigating relationships, identity, sexuality as they go through puberty and into adulthood, I mean, it's a no-brainer. This is something that our young people need. They have asked for it. Schools have asked for it.
Ah. They have asked for it. Schools have asked for it. Well, that's completely wrong. It's a myth. And let me prove it. So here's the petitions that I have found since 2017 on this issue. Okay, firstly, a petition calling for better, more consistent sex education in secondary schools. 2017, more than 5,000 signed the petition, started by a 17-year-old high school student. But it wanted mates and dates to be introduced into all high schools. Yeah, mates and dates. The program that was dropped because it was so extreme and age inappropriate. So it was started by a 17-year-old, but it was signed by people of all ages. It wasn't a school-based petition. Then there was this one, 2019, 8,675, but this lumped RSE together with sexual violence support services, which most people support. And it was not started by a student. It was started by the left-wing action station and signed by anyone. There was also this more recent one, which has just 4,000 signatures. And although it talks about compulsory consent education, it's basically about wanting the radical RSE curriculum to start at year one, five-year-olds. But it was started by a 24-year-old woman, not students asking. And this one from the year before, 2,400 signatures, started by a girl in year 13. And then there's also this recent one, Stop New Zealand Government from Removing Gender and Sexuality Education, has a stunning 286 signatures on it. And this one from late last year, that a national curriculum includes equitable and inclusive teaching of sex education in New Zealand, includes the experiences of queer disabled tangata whenua and refugee communities, has an earth-shattering 222 signatures. How can a government ignore that? And then there's a real big one, Stop the Removal of Gender, Sexuality and Relationship-Based Education in Aotearoa with 428 signatures. And ironically, the open letter does reference a petition. here's the one that the open letter from the Mental Health Foundation references in their document, signed by 14 people. Yes, 14 people down the bottom there in the circle. Have there been any other petitions? Let me think. Oh, wait, actually there was this one. Yes, 30,000 signed petition to stop New Zealand schools teaching RSE. In fact, the petition was eventually submitted to Parliament with 40,000 and a half signatures. That's more signatures than all the other ones I mentioned combined. But the media never mentions this one. Classic, eh? Okay, so let's continue with the interview.
The interesting thing is that New Zealand First actually introduced these guidelines when they held the position of Minister of Education under the John Key government. So it's a ridiculous flip. It's almost like taking us back to the Stone Age.
Oh, back to the Stone Age. Now, New Zealand First were never Minister of Education under John Key. It was Ann Tolley, then Hekia Pradata, then Nikki Kaye. It was under Nikki Kaye's watch that a lot of this weird stuff started happening. What he is half right about is that New Zealand First MP Tracy Martin was an Associate Minister of Education during this time and was pushing some of this radical curriculum. But here's another key thing to note. She's no longer with New Zealand First. That's not coincidence. Let's continue.
The actual education will stay though, right? These guidelines are over and above what education was being provided, and it kind of is an updated idea into the types of content that should be taught.
Yeah, well look, schools still have the ability to teach relationship and sexual education and sexual identity, and we really hope that they continue to do that. But it's a very, very negative signal from the government. It's basically saying, yeah, you're free to do that, but we're not going to support you to do that. We're not going to give you assistance or support. And, you know, what is that signal saying? It's saying that this is not important, that if you have a different type of identity sexually, or if you're different in any way, if you're different ethnically, or if you're entering into different types of relationships and having to discover things like sexual safety in relationships, consent, that's not important. You know, that's what the government's saying.
Yeah, really struggling, isn't he? Schools can still teach the stuff, but what is it saying when the government wants it age appropriate? How dare they? And what about all the ethnic groups who actually, well, most of these Pacifica and Asian and Middle East and African families hate the RSE curriculum as it stands. We know that for a fact. Now, he says it's age appropriate because the ministry has written it. That apparently should reassure us. Where is the evidence? He says they can remove their children, which is classic because he's in effect admitting that it's not necessary for all children. And then he takes a swipe, you'll hear in this next little interview, at nasty conservative people. I think he's referring to you and me.
We have had the education minister on here previously to talk about this, and I know that that is the intent for your letter to go to Erica Stanford. Now, her argument against this is that there has been huge anxiety and a rift between parents and schools about the age appropriateness of the content. Yep. What would you say to that? Do you think that the content is being taught to school children who are too young to be learning some of these concepts or
Well, look, the research is actually, and the guidelines have come from the Ministry of Education, and they are geared to be age appropriate at the different stages for children and young people. I would argue, where's the evidence of this huge anxiety? Parents can actually remove their children from these lessons. Schools are also obliged to talk to their communities and get feedback from their communities. So I just refute that. I think it's the tail wagging the dog. We have a small number of highly conservative people in New Zealand who have got to New Zealand First. New Zealand First has done a complete flip over the course of 6 years on what they thought was important for political reasons.
Ooh, those nasty conservative people. Thousands of them that filled halls all around the country on our road trip last year. Let's continue a bit more.
Yeah, just in relation to that anxiety, we have had some feedback this morning from parents who say they are indeed anxious. Kerry says, we are actively involved as parents, so we teach in the home and we give more than enough information for that age. Every parent I've spoken to feels the same. Barb says the current content has been influenced by highly motivated political groups who are pushing extremely age-inappropriate agendas.
Yep.
What would you say to parents who say, well, we want to teach that in our home? Is the danger that not every parent is doing that?
Well, look, parents are totally free to do that. I would say, look, two texts is not exactly a representative sample. And, you know, one of the things that we're doing is asking people to sign this letter. We had over 300 people on the first day. So,
wow, over 300 people. We had that number at a public meeting in Matamata on one night last November. Okay, but this is where it turns really dodgy. And you see the real mentality behind the Mental Health Foundation and why parents should be very wary of them anywhere near their children. Have a listen to this.
Yeah, I think parents are always part of this process, but we need to flip it around. This is actually children's and young people's rights. It's not the parents' right to decide whether a young person should be equipped for life. It is the young person's right to be equipped for life. And as a nation, that's what we should be doing.
It's not the parents' right to decide whether a child should be equipped for life. It's our job. Parents are just part of the process, apparently. And primary age should be indoctrinated with extreme sexuality and gender fluidity because Sean says it's his job. It's the state's job. Not you as the parents. Shocking. And just the last bit, listen closely to this.
The reason we're involved is we're all about things that keep people mentally well and functioning well, mentally and emotionally. It is really clear through survey after survey that young people want this support. And that those that feel on the margins, like if they're gay, bi, transsexual, or just struggling with their relationships, or if they are not Pākehā, that has a big impact on their mental health. So,
non-Pākehā. Sex ed and non-Pākehā. Did you hear that? Have a listen again.
Gay, bi, transsexual, or just struggling with their relationships, or if they are not Pākehā.
Yep, we need RAC, especially for non-Pākehā who are feeling unsafe. So there you have gender ideology, radical sexuality, and critical theory wrapped up in one. Compliments of the Mental Health Foundation. So let's just very quickly read a bit of what the hysterical letter actually says. The Mental Health Foundation of New Zealand and the undersigned are deeply concerned by your government's commitment to remove and replace the relationships and sexuality education guidelines for teachers, school leaders, and boards of trustees. And then they say the reasons removing these resources disempowers schools, threatens to derail efforts to create safer and more inclusive school environments, especially for rainbow, takatupui, Turia students. So, I mean, that's confirming what the real purpose of all of this is. Nothing to do with consent or health relationships or pornography. Second bullet point there tells rainbow staff and students that they don't deserve to be safe at school or work. Well, that's completely false. It's an insult to school leadership. Means many students will miss out on quality vetted RSE, confirming this education in the home or to informal sources like peers and the internet. Yes, in the home, those nasty, ignorant, know nothing about sex parents. Don't want to leave it to them. And empowers bullies and makes it easier for bullying, discrimination and social exclusion to thrive in schools and communities. Once again, that is a slight on school leadership who are doing a great job without this radical and extreme curriculum. They also say it's important to remember the guidelines were developed in response to calls to end bullying, violence and child abuse. Yes, apparently your child being indoctrinated and confused about their sexuality and gender will prevent child abuse. Quite the opposite, actually. And all students are bullied. Where's the petition for the disabled students or the low achievers who might get mocked? Where's the petition about cyberbullying? TikTok. They say the guidelines outline practical tools to teach students about consent, healthy relationships, digital safety, sexuality and gender in age-appropriate ways. Read the room. It's the age-appropriate ways that is the key problem. Now, just back to the One News report, thought you might be interested to know, the Minister of Education, Erica Stanford, was asked her view. She said the government will review and replace the current relationship and sexuality education guidelines during its first term, so sometime in this 3 years. She said, I emphasise the agreement to replace, adding that the current guidelines had important content she wanted to keep, while references to gender ideology are almost certainly on the chopping block, given New Zealand First's strong stance on the issue. Stanford said guidelines around consent, healthy relationships were critical to retain. It's important to note that these are only guidelines and schools are currently free to use them or not as they choose. And fortunately, most schools are rejecting it and refusing to allow groups like Inside Out and Rainbow Youth. But you still need to check your school. Now, as at today, and despite the TV interviews and the marketing by the media, the petition is at a massive 2,800. Stunning. Now, it's just also important to note, the Mental Health Foundation did a submission supporting the ban on conversion therapy. And they actually wanted to make it even more extreme than it already is. So if you have mental health issues related to unwanted sexuality and gender confusion and seek help, don't expect any help from the Mental Health Foundation. They want to practice conversion therapy, but it's in the direction they want. And they want it in the classroom also. Beware. one other thing. The Mental Health Foundation have just announced that they're having to cut 18% of their workforce because of declining fundraising revenue. Are they paying the cost of failing to listen to parents and failing to listen to families and of pushing radical agendas like RSE? That's a very good question.